We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Tanny's back from the DMV. I'm sure he's in a great mood. Let's hear his open. Let's go.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
Every item that I need for a work day needs to be able to fit in my pockets. I don't like bringing bags. It's also why I don't really utilize the gym that we have around here, because I'm not willing to bring a second pair of clothes. And I'm lazy.
I'm so lazy I took lessons on a play a piano.
Wow, that's really lazy.
Lazy, you're not kidding. Well, I'm like a rug on Valium.
So lazy.
Texter says, is it lazy if I leave my clothes in the dryer and just pluck them out to wear each day of the week until it's empty? Yes.
You're right.
That's admirably lazy.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
What do you think the laziest thing is that you do?
To the texter's point, one of the biggest annoyances I have, like this is long before even home ownership, it's folding laundry. I would rather do any yard work, rather do damn near anything in a house that actually fold shirts or fold socks or fold whatever the heck piece of clothing. Drives me crazy.
Now, Kevin, will you tell these people why you're in that wheelchair? What put you there?
I don't want to stand up.
You don't want to do anything, do you?
No, sir.
Now, Kevin, you went and saw a doctor, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And what did the doctor say?
He said I was lazy.
Kevin is lazy, folks. He doesn't want to do anything.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out with us. McNeil and Parkins on The Score. And yes, Texter. Aw, Schlep again. That's a good nickname for you.
Schlep. Schlep. It's all the same, right?
I see what he's doing there.
That's right. I'm sure you spent all night trying to think of that one. He's like, I'm going to send this right at 2 o'clock and get after it right away today. Good job, Texter.
It's like when people call me Parkinson's.
Right. Never heard that one before, did you?
Never. Absolutely never heard it.
The one thing that people always have a trouble saying my name for whatever reason, Nick Szepkowski, they love doing the Nip Szepkowski. I don't know what it is, causes it, as I throw my pen across the room at you.
Are you okay?
But no, just
very
the,
excited.
The Nip Szepkowski that people just love to, for whatever reason, it's enough of a tongue twister. That's the part
Nip
of my name.
Nip Szepkowski.
Well, that too. Doug said my name no less than 300 times, and he never said it the same way twice.
That's a compliment, though.
I think so.
Yeah, that's said out of love. Well done by Chris Tannehill. I was thinking about that laziness conversation quite a bit, because I am anything but lazy when it comes to this job in my career.
Sure.
But basically everything else, I'm very type B, go with the flow. You know, there are some exceptions, but I can be pretty lazy outside of this. And a texter sent in one of his tales of laziness that I realized that I do, which is I don't go for exact times on the microwave when I'm heating something up.
Dude, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Like, so instead, 2:30 for 2.5 minutes, just 2:22.
I'm the same exact way, and I've done it forever. Like, why am I going to move my hand a quarter of an inch and hit the other button? I can just hit the two consecutive times.
I had never really thought about it as being supremely lazy, but it is.
How many times do you... you don't drink coffee, so it's a bad person to ask this to.
That's right.
Like, if you heat up coffee, Tanny, are you guilty of this at all in the morning, where you reheat your coffee in the microwave, and then you're too lazy to go and get it, and it sits there for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and it's still in the microwave, and you go back, and you're, oh, I got to reheat my coffee again, and then you repeat the same process 30 minutes later?
No.
No.
Okay. Who are you, Terry, reheating your coffee all the time?
Just walking around wondrously.
Yeah, I never reheat the coffee because as soon as it's ready, it's right into my veins, please.
Okay.
Immediately. I can't do anything without it. So.
Gotcha.
good talk. You really found a bunch of allies on that.
No,
that
I
one.
Thought that like, I do that how many
when
times?
I skip the meeting. Oh,
oh
boy.
My God. How many times I do that a week? It's like, okay, up, reheated the coffee and forgot about it. And then it's like the wife gets home before I do, and it's just sitting on the counter as if to say, like, hey, moron, you didn't drink your coffee again. Stop filling it up.
Yeah, and listen, I think that that is – everybody has their own thing. And people were saying that that was an old B&B thing, tales of laziness and all that. I don't know if it was a Friday Fung topic or if it was just a
– Yes, it was.
Okay, so
– But it's not the first people ever to talk about being lazy. We don't know. We don't have ownership over lazy. So.
Well, in sports radio, you're telling me that the topic of laziness has come up before? That is absolutely –
Believe it or not, yeah.
That is absolutely shocking to me. But no, I'm just saying that then the score audience is very adept to different examples of supreme laziness because the text line just fell right into it. There were a spectacular number of people. Dishwasher hacks, laundry hacks, you know, coffee hacks, all microwave hacks, all sorts of grilling tips, all sorts of things for laziness. It's very impressive.
It's a great place for it. I was doing an interview with the Marathon folks next door earlier today, and that was kind of what Kerry Pinkowski had to say about the station. He's like, oh, you're running the marathon. It's like, yeah, you look across that room and you look across when you walk around the hallways here, surprising to find out that someone from the score is actually running the marathon. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't disagree.
It's a very impressive accomplishment. It really is. Top of the hour on the score brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at nusports.com. So I was talking to some people around the station today. And I was asking them, basically.
You like this. You're like, instead of doing man on the street, you do man around the station before the show often.
I test my.
You go out through the rooms and you check in on, all right, what do you think of this? What do you think of so-and-so?
Yeah.
Okay. Check the temperature around the place.
Little
and
dress rehearsals, basically. I like to test out
my
takes.
The show before the show.
It's the show before the show. Exactly. I like to, you know, I just gauge reactions. I don't know if it's the debater in me, but like in high school debate, they tell you, you know, you anticipate the mm-hmm. the argument that your opponent's going to make. You do a pro case for whatever you're doing, and then you do a con case so that you can, you know, just experience it. So I was going around today and doing the show before the show because I have no life outside of work. And people kept telling me that they didn't think our audience is interested in the China NBA story. And, okay, maybe not. It's definitely really complicated. And I know that plenty of people don't like the NBA, but I would argue that it's crossed over outside of the NBA. But so we're not going to talk about the particulars of that story, even though I would question that premise. I would think that some people are at least interested in the complexities of what the hell's going on between the NBA and China. But I was thinking about today, just for a second, imagine what it must be like to be Daryl Morey right now. That guy has to feel like he is in the middle of a, you know, the eye of the hurricane, middle of the tornado. Unbelievable what one tweet that it doesn't seem like he thought a whole heck of a lot about has all of a sudden caused an international geopolitical incident. That has to be a crazy, crazy place to be. Because to compare it to another topic that I know our audience loves so much, Kaepernick. Kaepernick absolutely knew what he was doing, right? It was a cause he was ready to kneel for and face questions for and in the face of criticism continue to do. Daryl Morey sends out the tweet.
A controversial take that he sent out, too.
Yeah, stand with Hong Kong.
Yeah, right, stand with Hong Kong and question communism.
Right.
Like, what a crazy bastard.
But so he sends out the tweet, right? Within minutes, it's deleted. So this is not something
with
like a
bleep storm from above, from his owner, from his boss, from Adam Silver. Everyone related to the NBA are just a bleep storm across all of it.
Like, Within minutes, the tweet is deleted. Within minutes, his owner has come out and commented on it. Within minutes of that, the commissioner has commented on it. Within minutes of that, the commissioner has sent another statement on it. Within the minutes of that statement, another owner has weighed in on it. Within minutes of that, the Chinese government has commented on it. The Chinese media entities have talked about it.
Yao Ming has disregarded anything in the Houston Rockets for the forever again.
Yeah, Yao Ming,
except his T-shirt jersey.
Except the Mike Chen T-shirt jersey.
No,
yes,
that is timeless. But right, like Daryl Morey sends out a tweet, and all of a sudden, Yao Ming doesn't love the Houston Rockets, and China doesn't love the Rockets. When in China, the Rockets are about as popular as the Dallas Cowboys are in America. They're the biggest American sports team over there, all because of a tweet. And then I turn on CNN today. I'm walking by the WBBM newsroom. CNN is up, and the headline is basically China-U.S. standoff escalates beyond trade war. Think about those words: China-U.S. standoff escalates beyond trade war. And they got talking heads on there talking about the NBA. It's one employee of one team sends one tweet that's online for a few minutes, and legitimately a geopolitical international incident has started. I cannot even imagine what it must be like to be him right now.
Yeah, it must be absurd. He must be thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to get fired over this. Oh my God, I can't say anything to anyone ever again. Like, it has to suck, because anyone with any common sense whatsoever looks at his tweet, reads what he said, and said, yeah, I'm on board with that. I agree with that. Yet he gets the pushback of this because the Chinese government, as sensitive as they are to this topic, to being called out for their regime that's been in place forever, it is absurd to be Daryl Morey right now.
What's the most trouble you guys have ever been in?
Oh, boy.
Like, have you guys ever stepped into it on Twitter? Ever had to apologize for something online? Ever been suspended from a job? Ever been fired? Like have you ever felt like you were in a situation where the world was like your small myopic world, where all of us kind of have a, you know, the earth revolves around us type of thing, and you're feeling like it? Because I have had it happen once in a professional setting.
Does almost killing your best friend when you're 17 years old count? And the fallout for what you thought was coming from that.
Maybe.
Does that count?
More. Yeah, sure. You almost killed someone?
Yes, I almost, I don't think it wouldn't have been murder charges. It wasn't the goal or wasn't the mission of anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I nearly killed my best friend when I think I was 17 years old.
Okay. I imagine that must have been traumatic.
It was not good. What was happening?
Coal City Railroads?
Close. It was in Coal City that it happened, but it was a winter day, one of those warm winter days you have. And what we ended up going and like playing catch with the football in one of our friends' houses and playing in the front yard, just playing catch, screwing around like 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds do. And I'm leaving. I forget where I'm even going. And a couple of my buddies jump on the back of my car as I'm backing out of the driveway of my friend's house that I'm at. Okay, they're on the back of my car. I'm not even hitting the gas. I'm just letting them jump off as the car kind of doesn't even accelerate, but letting them jump off the car. I see two people jump off. I don't realize there's a third. And so I hit the gas. My buddy, who's still on the back, falls sideways, flat on his side of his face, breaks his skull. He stands up as if nothing happens. And they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Melvin just went down. And you're like, slam on the brakes.
Down.
Get out of the car.
Melvin.
You look, and he starts to sit up. He's like, oh, nothing's that bad. And he has his hand over the side of his face. And you're like, okay, he seems like he's all right. And as soon as he moves his hand, I mean, there's blood shooting out like it's some bad science fiction movie. Like, it's squirting everywhere. And he's like, is it bad? Is it something wrong? And I'll never forget this until the day I die. He's wearing a gold Notre Dame pullover, and it is just soaking up all of the blood.
Yeah, so
and
you felt like you killed your friend.
And we're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Put your hand up. It's not terrible. It's not. It's okay. It's okay. Call the ambulance. The ambulance takes him off and ends up having a fractured skull because of my stupid ass.
Yeah.
And the fallout of that, of thinking like, wow, I damn near murdered my best friend. I'm never going to drive again. I'm going to be in jail. I'm never going to go to school again. That was a rough 48, 72 hours until you kind of got in the clear.
That's bad. That's bad. But it didn't make CNN.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, and you didn't go to jail. But so, yeah, that's a bad one. When I had, when I was making 30K a year, first job with benefits, doing 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Kansas City, first full-time job, had moved there. I started April of 2011, so this is All-Star break of 2012.
Baseball All-Star break.
Baseball All-Star break of 2012. So I'd been there maybe, a year-ish. Don't have any real clout doing a two-hour show. Nothing really impressive going on. And it's the All-Star game in Kansas City, and the owner of the Royals is walking by, David Glass. He's now sold the team. And at the time, he is public enemy number one in Kansas City because they never win. They never spend any money. There's no real reasons for positivity, anything like that. And there had been a story in the paper about how the people who own the soccer team wanted to buy the Royals. And he hadn't done a live interview since he had hired Dayton Moore in 2006. So he hadn't done a live...
Too busy scraping all the computers in the Kansas City Royals system of pornography.
That's exactly right. He hadn't done a live interview in 6 years. So he's walking by, and we get him on the show. Live impromptu interview. I'm like, oh, David Glass is walking over. He's going to sit down with us.
Danny Parkins, young man looking to make a splash.
Yeah. My boss at the time texts me two words, be careful. But I don't look at my phone before this interview.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Would it have mattered if you looked at your phone?
Probably not.
Like Mitch sent us texts all the time of reminder, be careful.
Yeah.
This, that, the other. Do we really take it to heart?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, at the time, when you have absolutely no clout or experience in the industry, you're 24 years old, like maybe you take it a little bit. But anyway, I don't see the warning. Be careful. Owner sits down, one question about the All-Star game, and then it's, put on the old journalism school. You know what I mean? The old interrogation. Are you willing to operate this team at a loss in order to field a winner? Would you consider selling the team? And three questions in, puts down the microphone and walks off. And I'm just narrating it on there. I'm like, and there's David Glass putting down his microphone and walking away.
See ya.
And this is in front of, 50, 60 people at the fan fest, and it's live on the air, and we're on the home of the Royals. And next text from my boss, do not mention what just happened on the air, period. Come right back to the station when your show ends to see me, period. This is bad, period.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So we have to pretend like the owner of the Royals didn't just cancel an impromptu interview. We pretend like it didn't happen.
How did that go over?
How long is this drive?
What?
How long is the drive back to the station?
It's Kansas City. It's like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it took about 12 minutes. But I mean, I'm not even off the air yet. Like, we're literally coming back from commercial break, and we're like, so how great's this All-Star game going to be? Who do you guys think?
Home Run Derby. Yeah. Excited, man. It's going to be so fun.
Who do you think's
really cool and rad?
They should have really put Billy Butler in the Home Run Derby. Like, Robinson Cano's a captain, and he didn't select a hometown guy. What an insult.
That young cat, Bryce Harper's coming to town. It's going to be really fun to watch him play center field for the National League.
So I am just petrified. Don't get any other communication from the boss. On that 12 minutes driving back to the station, I am convinced that I am driving in to get fired. My job is over. Twitter is, I think that I am trending on Twitter globally. I think I'm equivalent to Kim Kardashian or Justin Bieber. I think your entire world's going on. I'm going to have to call my parents. Like, I don't have enough money saved.
Mom, I got fired.
How am I going to get out of my rent? I'm going to have to move home. I'm such
Father,
a failure.
Father, I dropped my sunglasses yesterday. Now I must pay rent.
Yeah, exactly. It's a terrible situation. And I ended up having to, they wanted me to apologize, and I got suspended. And they
So did you apologize?
Yeah, it was a...
Ish?
It was very...
Apology-ish?
It was very ishy. I apologize not for the questions, but for the forum in which the questions were asked. It was a big caveat. That was my big negotiating win in the whole experience. And they took my credentials away. I couldn't go to the All-Star game, couldn't go to the Home Run Derby, the entire thing. But I'm just thinking, like, the idea of...
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because you dared to ask the owner...
Yeah, it was weak, man. It was weak.
God.
It was super weak.
Deserves to get roasted 7 years later.
Yeah, it was terrible. I was happy
fire him into the sun.
I was happy that he sold the team.
You can do that during the bye week if you like.
But it was just... Listen, I mean, that boss is unemployed right now. The whole big thing. So, you know, I've had some Schadenfreude moments of enjoyment since then, trust me. But... I was just thinking about it today because we all feel like we all step in it sometimes, right, in professional settings. And, man, Daryl Morey has to be S-ing himself right now. He's got to just be totally it's got to be an unbelievable feeling to set off a storm like that on that sort of level that 99.9% of people just cannot at all relate to what he's in. Like, whatever the biggest thing you've ever stepped in that was the biggest thing in your world, it wasn't anything quite like this on a macro sense. And I just find it to be fascinating. I think how the NBA handles it is fascinating. I think how the American government handles it is fascinating. I think how the Rockets handled it, how LeBron handled it. They haven't spoke. The Lakers and Nets are just in their hotel room in China right now. They're still there. They haven't left. They haven't reached the media.
Sounds like the worst vacation ever.
The games aren't on TV. Like, no one's talking. It's just a totally insane situation.
Yeah. Daryl Morey, I wonder, though, because, like, Daryl Morey, even with this, say the Rockets fire him tomorrow as some way to save face for the NBA in China, because it seems like what they're most concerned about is the money that comes from China.
Yeah.
Say he gets fired tomorrow. Daryl Morey is going to be hired in some capacity in a front office, whether it's in basketball or another sport, in no time whatsoever.
You think so?
Yes, 100%. He is way too accomplished and way too respected across all the sports, not just the NBA.
Hold on, but if he got fired from his job as NBA general manager for starting up an international incident that cost the NBA millions, if not billions of dollars, why would another NBA team hire...
I'm not saying an NBA team would. The man is, analytically, like, it's kind of like when you hear the ideas of, oh, yeah, Mets are going out of their way, they're hiring, or the Browns are hiring baseball people to run their football operations because they're that good mathematically, and they're that good with analytics, and they're that good, and they're that forward-thinking. He's a forward-thinking guy. He made the Rockets into something out of completely nothing.
I'm not saying he's unemployable ever, but if the Rockets don't stand by him and the NBA decides
because
that he's the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, that's the Rockets. Anyone with common sense looks at this and sees what it is. It's a money grab for the NBA that they're willing to take the money instead of back their guy. And Adam Silver didn't do that yesterday. He actually said that, hey, I support him. I support the First Amendment. That's freedom of speech rights, and good for Adam Silver for at least going that far with it. But anyone that sees if Daryl Morey gets fired for this, they see why he got fired. It's not because Daryl Morey is, oh my God, he is, you can't have him around. He is just terrible for the office. He's a terrible dude. No, he happened to say the wrong thing, and the wrong thing in this case was on the right side of history.
Especially with, like, NFL teams going towards more analytical, you know, ideas, and they're not that big in China. Like, an NFL team would absolutely hire him. Paul D. Podesta, the guy who was the Moneyball guy, is now working for the Browns. Analytics are able to, you know, transfer, like, any.
Yeah, he
any
might, but he wants to work in the NBA.
I get that.
But he's going to take money. I mean, if you got fired from a radio, station, you said you always go into PR. You're going to take money no matter where you're.
I'm not saying that he's not employable ever. I'm saying the idea that one tweet from one NBA employee about one issue that isn't even available on the internet in China launched a geopolitical international incident that is being talked about all over the world and is resulting in massive business changes between the NBA and its biggest global partner. That's just crazy. The impact that can have, that one tweet can have that was online for a couple of minutes, is just staggering.
The thing, too, that people aren't talking about is that he didn't type words. He just copied a picture and then posted it. It's a picture that says fight for freedom and free Hong Kong. And
that's real controversial stance,
just
right?
Copy a photo.
Man, Daryl Morey, I look at him and that's an unemployable human being. You can't have that man fighting communism with the power of Twitter. Can't have him in your office. Nope. Unemployable.
And I gotta be honest, I want to hear what Jim Boylan has to say about it.
Oh my God.
I do. The Bulls are a...
Oh my God.
The Bulls are a global brand. He's got players on his team that have shoe deals. It's not our job to underestimate Jim Boylan. Maybe he punts on it. Maybe he no comments. Maybe he says I'm not educated enough on it. But maybe he surprises people. And he gives you a thoughtful, strong answer in support of the commissioner and Daryl Morey. Who knows? But I absolutely think that Jim Boylan should be asked about it today before the Bulls play Zion and the Pelicans. The Bulls matter globally. This is a global issue that impacts the NBA and their bottom line. He's the face of the team. What does he think?
Yeah, whether it's the Bulls or whether it's the Pelicans or whether it's any team in the NBA, coaches and front office people alike, it's an entire NBA story. What do you think of the commissioner saying this? What do you think of one of your fellow GMs saying this and getting it thrown back in his face? Do you support Morey? Do you support the NBA in this? Do you support China in it? There's a question to be asked to literally everyone that cashes an NBA check.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Seattle Sutton. Your good health is their true mission. Alex DeBrinket in about 20 minutes. Response to some spectacular trash talk coming up on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Mayfield taken down again as he just gets rid of the ball. And it was Bosa. What a first half out of this rookie. And did you see him going with that flag motion there? If you remember what happened back in college, it was Mayfield who planted the flag up at Ohio State.
I don't usually talk, but this game, he had it coming. So, but he didn't say one word back. So,
what'd you say? Just an example.
Oh, I was just screaming his name like, Baker, Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want a challenge.
Nick Bosa got Baker Mayfield pretty good. The Niners got the Browns pretty good. But we were talking about the demeanor of quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield is not going to change who he is when asked today about Nick Bosa's celebration. We have it. Oh, beautiful. Better than me reading it. Let's hear it.
Bosa's, good for him. He had it premeditated. I don't think Sherman's was a personal vendetta. He said what he said. But Bosa's, good for him. He had it premeditated. He's been thinking about that off now. So that's a long time to think about that loss.
Good job, man. I know a lot of you guys hate Baker Mayfield. I love him every time he steps in front of a microphone. Interesting.
It's a long time to think about a loss. Is it, though? It's the only time that you see the guy. I'm sure he's clearly not thinking of, like, Nick Bosa is not going to bed every night thinking, oh, my God, that game against Oklahoma in 2017, let me tell you, yeah, I still can't get over Baker Mayfield beating us in the horseshoe. Like, that's not what he's... I get it. Baker Mayfield's trying to not take the high road, but get his jab back in. All right. Yeah. He got you. And his team whipped your ass, and you're awful this year. Enjoy that, Baker.
Yeah. He is I'm not saying that he's right and that you need to inject logic into trash talk.
Right.
But it's a good line.
It's, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, you've been thinking about it for 2 years. That's a tough loss.
Sure. And you're the quarterback that's leading the team that's the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year, you can argue. Like, you want to throw it back in Baker's face. Like, it's a no-win situation for him. So it's okay. It's a fine comeback, but there's a million things lined up for you there, pal.
There are, absolutely. But that's what it is, right? If you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
Right.
Right now, Baker Mayfield is
stumbling backwards is what he's doing.
Exactly.
Tony La Russa trying to pass a DUI test is what he's doing trying to walk.
Like, can he cash these checks? We'll see. Can he cash the checks that he's getting by talking? Because, of course, he's a target. Richard Sherman made him a target. Nick Bosa made him a target. And when that happens, it's fascinating to me to see how these guys go about. Jalen Ramsey called out all of the quarterbacks. Bill, you know, he calls out Josh Allen, right? All of a sudden there was a little buzz for Bills Jaguars when that game happened last year.
Yeah.
After that article had come out. So whether or not Baker can live up to this, I have no idea, but he's going to go down swinging. Like, what I'm hoping doesn't happen is that the NFL code wins over Baker Mayfield.
How did it go with Favre? Because Favre was traded from Atlanta. He was a second-round pick. I want to say he lasted only 1 year there. And because of his partying, I mean, that was a bigger part than like the attitude necessarily, but the partying and being out in the Atlanta nightlife every stinking night, that forced his way out of town. But he was kind of the hothead. Not to say that Baker Mayfield's a hothead. He's just interesting, I guess. And it's for a position that guys generally aren't interesting. But how much of like a comparison is it to like the very early Brett Favre days where then he gets to Green Bay, he mellows out, he turns into a perennial MVP candidate, MVP winner, and a legend at the sport? How many parallels are there?
It's not bad.
To a young Brett Favre anyway, not so much like a 35-year-old Brett Favre.
I mean, he was brash, definitely. I think that that's reasonable. I obviously don't know every PR thing he might have stepped in,
yeah,
and the media game was just so different,
right?
Then, you know, everything about it was different. Just Instagram, Twitter, 24/7 sports talk on television, like all of that. It was such a different environment that he was coming up in. I just hope that Baker, if he's bad, then he won't matter. He'll be irrelevant. But it'd be fun for the NFL to have a heel. It'd be
fun, right?
It's rare.
What's the biggest heel in the NFL right now? Like, who's the one guy that's seen and, for whatever reason, rooted against?
I mean,
that you see, and is it Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady's, yes, he is as accomplished as any player in the game. Tom Brady is damn boring.
I think a lot of people will enjoy whenever the Patriots dynasty finally ends, but I don't think that's out of hate. I think it's out of jealousy.
Like, Tom Brady is. And I know he's got the supermodel wife that's a billionaire, and he's worth millions upon millions. He is an incredibly boring dude.
Yeah,
there's never been a sentence that comes out of his mouth that's been interesting about anything.
Probably Vontaze Burfict, right? I mean, him and Antonio Brown, although he's not technically in the league anymore, I think those two are probably the most hated guys.
Yeah, because one tries to kill people on a football field.
I mean, the other one for off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but team ever says heading into a game, like, we got to get up to beat Vontaze Burfict today.
Yeah. He's played on two teams, one that historically, congrats, you got to the playoffs, how are you going to flop this year? And he goes to the Raiders, where they're a walking laughing stock traditionally.
So
the last 20 years.
Baker's words can rile people up. I was talking to my buddy Jeff Schwartz, who used to play in the league, and he is just convinced that it won't work. He's like, Baker will either change his demeanor or he'll be out of the league. He is convinced that you can't behave that way at that position. He's just like, it doesn't work. There's too much. It can cause a void in your own locker room, between your own coaches. Players will get sick of answering questions about you. He is just convinced that that type of demeanor does not work at that position. Receiver, corner, it's a different thing.
Speaks had a good comparison of it when he was talking about this the other day. And he compared it to being a parent. When you're a quarterback in the NFL, regardless of if you're a rookie, if you're the starting quarterback, you are the one that's looked upon to be the leader in that room by default. And he compared it to being a parent in that when your kid sees you, oh, I'm going to take a shortcut here with my work and I'm not going to put in a full effort here. Or I'm going to sweep up the kitchen, but I'm just going to sweep it under the rug. And the kid catches you. And you're, oh, why are you doing that? If I'm sweeping up the kitchen, you're going to yell at me if I sweep things under the rug, whichever it might be. You can't get away with it when you're a parent. He compared that to being a quarterback in the NFL, and I thought that was a pretty fair comparison because simply when you walk in that room, whether you're 22, 26, 38, the expectation is that if you're a starting quarterback, by default, by the position you play, you're a leader.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, have Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. When we come back, Alex DeBrinket joins us to promote the Hawks opener, tell some stories from his international trip, and we'll have some fun with one of the rising stars of the Hawks next on
the Hawks?
Yeah. Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Gustafson back out front to break in the shot and a save, rebound. Gustafson open man DeBrinket. What a pass, Eric Gustafson. DeBrinket a tap in. Hawks win.
A steal by Taze. Out of the Taze in front for Keith. Oh, he passes out DeBrinket. Oh my goodness. Alex DeBrinket a tap in after a spectacular four-way passing play. The Harlem Globetrotters just showed up.
129 points last year for Alex DeBrinket, 70 goals in 165 NHL games, or 129 points in those 165 NHL games. Plenty of highlights like that from our next guest, who is getting ready for the home opener tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks at 7:30. Alex DeBrinket joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alex, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, and just got some new paper, signed a new 3-year contract extension. How'd that feel?
Yeah, that's it's a great feeling, obviously, to get it done early and, you know, to kind of be able to be in that position to get it done early. It's a great feeling.
Do you buy anything special for yourself?
No, not yet. I don't know. We'll see what comes about later, but right now I'm pretty content with what I have.
Get to do anything fun with that extra money, that little spending money when your 10-day trip to Europe?
No, not much in Europe. I felt like we were a little bit busy there, you know, focused on the game and having practice and stuff. But that was a good trip overall, and I had a lot of fun there.
What you said you had a lot of fun. What, outside of obviously, you know, not getting the win, but what were you able to do over there that was fun?
I think just walking around and seeing everything was pretty cool. It's a lot different than here. So just being able to kind of get out and see that different culture, it's, you know, eye-opening and a little bit different experience.
We're talking to Alex DeBrinket here on The Score. So I was made aware today of this Instagram account for your dog, Ralph DeBrinket. Me and Shep here, we're both dog people. Does your dog have an Instagram, Shep?
It does. Neddy the dog on Instagram.
Neddy the dog.
He's going to be following Ralph here in no time.
Okay, so it's a Shibu Inu. It's got 7,200 Instagram followers. Are you running this account?
No, I'm not, actually. My girlfriend runs it, so she has a good time with that. I think she's been slacking lately. Everyone's telling me she needs to post some more, but she started that up, and it's wasn't supposed to be anything and ended up getting a good amount of followers. So she's happy about that.
Any idea what she has picked out or you have picked out for Ralphie to dress up as for Halloween? I saw it was a shark last year.
Yeah, no, I don't know about this year yet. She's been asking me all the time what he should be, but I don't really care what he is. So she can pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of so Chef, you run your dog's Instagram account, right? Because my wife is
when I remember it, yes, I do.
Yeah, but my wife runs it too. So like, doesn't it feel a little ridiculous? I'm sure you love your dog, Alex, but it's a little ridiculous how much wives and girlfriends love the dogs, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I love my dog as much as the next guy, but I think dressing him up might be a little too much. I mean, he does look really cute in the costumes, but I don't know. I'm sure he doesn't really like it that much.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I look at Ned, and I'm like, man, I feel sorry for you sometimes, bud. Let's just get you home, get you running around, play with your pineapple. You don't have to be dressed up to do so, and you can enjoy life that way.
You give your dog a pineapple?
Oh, it's a toy pineapple. It's not an actual pineapple.
What's the most ridiculous thing your girlfriend's done with or for your dog?
I don't know. I feel like every time he's like, I don't know, she says he's not feeling well or like he'll have an upset stomach, she'll make him chicken and rice every time. So I think that's a little bit over the top. I usually try to keep him on the kibble, but she likes to give him chicken and rice.
Well, a fair question is then, when you're not feeling right, when you've got a little flu-like symptoms, do you get the chicken and rice treatment, or are you on your own?
No, I'm on my own for sure. No, she helps me out. She's pretty good when I'm not feeling well, but I don't know. I don't know if chicken and rice is what I'd want to have.
Yeah, but sometimes it feels like your dog eats better than you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He eats just the same as us, I think. Any dinner we make, he's getting some scraps, so he eats pretty well.
We're talking to Alex DeBrinket here on The Score, your home opener tomorrow against the Sharks. I'm curious, you know, obviously everyone knows you and Strome are so tight. How much competition is there amongst your guys' friendship?
What do you mean by that?
Well, just, you know, who's gonna get more points? Which line is going to contribute more? Like any sort of internal competition?
No, not too much. I think we obviously want the best for each other, and I mean, usually we're playing on the same line, so it kind of works hand in hand. If he's getting points, I'm getting points, or, you know, but in the end of the day, you know, we just want to help our team win. And obviously neither of us have been in the playoffs, so that's what we're looking to do. And playoff hockey is really fun. So we're trying to get there and experience that together.
You're only 21, but you've been around this league now a couple of go-arounds with it, had a heck of a season last year. What's different for you as you really pick up the pace here and get into year three?
Honestly, not too much. I think, I mean, each year, obviously, I think your responsibility gets up a little bit more and increases. And, you know, you should be a better player in the next year and more confident. So I think, you know, just putting that on me and trying to do the best for my team. I think you always want to get better and be the best player out there and contribute, and you want to be that guy out there when, you know, we're down a goal in the last 2 minutes or even up a goal in the last 2 minutes. You want to be that guy that's relied on, and, you know, that's what we're working towards.
Well, Alex, good luck tomorrow night in this season. You're really fun to watch, and we appreciate you coming on the show, and keep taking care of that dog.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's Alex DeBrinket. You can follow at Ralph_DeBrinket for his dog on Instagram. Oh. The Hawks open at home against the Sharks tomorrow at 7:30. We can recap all the dog and hockey talk that you want coming up. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.